It's 206. It's Anna. It's Friday. And, you know, hey, yesterday, just about exactly this time, we had just taken in that news conference here. We carried it live on WGN with the mayor and Superintendent Brown, the Chicago Police Superintendent, David Brown. Bobby Rush, Congressman Bobby Rush, was up there. And at first, it seemed like sort of a political announcement. He was being very favorable of the mayor. In the past, he was not at all very favorable of the mayor. And suddenly, he was on her team, and she gets it, and she's the right one for the city. And then the promise was that they had something shocking to reveal about police. So we saw the video of the video that's now been very widely circulated. It's of up to 13 officers sleeping and lounging, drinking coffee and making popcorn and hanging out for 4 to 5 hours while the city erupted in chaos. And I remember watching, I was upset yesterday, and I was trying to think about why. And I know, I think it was because I was trying to search for a good reason for why they were there, what they were doing, what would be a good reason for that. And I've asked around, and I haven't found one. I wonder, what do you think about this? 312-981-7200. The FOP says, this is their response. They were ordered, those officers, to be there and protect that office as a deterrent after it had been looted. That's what they're saying, that was the order. Now, there are three white shirts there, three sergeant lieutenant types, the guys that are, you know, tell the other guys what the orders are. And all three of them might have had to either tell the other guys what to do, or else an exempt, someone higher up, a commander above, must have told them that that's where they have to be and that's where they have to stay to 4 to 5 hours while the calls were coming in at 65,000, the greatest in city history, 50,000 more than we've ever had for calls for service in the city. They had 13 officers there at that one spot. It seems like that must have been the most protected place in the city at that moment, even more than City Hall. I mean, I don't remember how many outside City Hall. I don't remember there was that many. So you had so many things to do and 13 there. I'm not sure that made sense to me. I'm not. And I'm sad because just that the other video that came out will not be as discussed. And that's when you saw the hundreds of men and women of our Chicago police force show the professionalism and restraint, unbelievable restraint, as they were being pummeled with bricks and pipes and firecrackers and Molotov cocktails were being thrown at them. Unimaginable things said to them. Things were tense. They were violence. People were in their face. They were standing off against this unimaginable circumstances in this crowd, and how stressful and the pressure that must have had. And at any time, there were 100 cameras rolling, right? 100 cameras at least in that crowd, ready to capture the moment when they used a little too much might. They did something that was outside of the parameters of exactly what they were supposed to do, or anything they did, right, was going to be scrutinized. And then you think this type of video that's out now, this is going to be something that people will look at and say, see, that's the cops. That's all they care. And I don't think that's the way it is. I don't believe it. And I'm still searching for a reason about why they might have done that.
That's why I asked Sergeant Pete, because it just seemed so
egregious,
blatant, cavalier. That there must have been an explanation.
Unreasonable.
For it. So I put a lot of faith in his answer, because he's like, no, there couldn't be.
He didn't think of one. I mean, people thought it was on a break, but then we learned it was 4 to 5 hours. That's a long break during a riot. The 4 to 5 hours. That's a long break. Kurt, go ahead. You're on WGN. You got thoughts about this?
Wondering also why everybody's looking for some excuse to rationalize this behavior. You know, first of all, two quick points. Police officers choose their profession. They're not drafted. They choose to become police officers. It's their choice. They know the risks. They know the drill. They know what's expected of them. Mm-hmm. And I just, come on. You know, we all love and respect them, right? And I'm tired of
everything. I do.
Prefacing their comment, yes, it's a tough job. We know that. It's the toughest job. There's nothing like it. But come on. This is your choice. You decide to serve and protect. And it's like any of it. You got to do it.
But let me ask you this.
Do it.
Are you one of the, somebody who believes that this is a system-wide problem, or do you think that we every time we get something like this, we cast aspersions on the entire group? We say, all 13,000 of you, wrong.
Everybody bends over backwards to never step off the face. The fact is, we know this is an aberrant behavior, but it's not completely isolated and unheard of. Mm-hmm. But true. we should even have to qualify. Every intelligent person knows that most cops are great. Almost all of them are. But
I'm not sure most people think that. I mean, when you hear the efforts to defund the police, and I know that's not the right name for it, and we've gone through that over and over again, but those people are saying that, we don't like this. It's a toxic culture. Let's break it all down. We heard Representative Ford come on this air and say, break the whole thing down, build it up again.
No, you don't do that in any other business or any other endeavor. When you find a problem, you fix it, and you enlist the people involved in the problem to help fix it. You just don't toss it away. We're not ready for that.
No, I'm not.
That would be a disaster.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
It really is. I know they're frustrated, and that gets a lot of attention now. But come on, we're not suddenly going to give up on this.
Yeah. Thank you, Kurt. Those are points well taken, and I agree with you. There's an accountability issue in some cases over the years, and you could say currently that when there are problems, that the police force has not been all that great at rooting them out. That has been an issue, but it leads to moments like this where we say, okay, you know, does this reflect everybody? You know?
Yeah, I know, and part of the problem is that because it is such a stressful job, unlike anything else, we have to make life and death decisions occasionally, and common sense decisions constantly. They tend to protect one another, but I understand that, but I don't think that your beat cap realizes in the heat of the moment that protecting your brothers in blue, they don't realize that doesn't make them safer.
Yeah,
it makes them less safe.
I appreciate your thoughts. We're going to try to get some more calls in here and hear more from you. So weigh in, 312-981-7200. Diane, go ahead. You're on WGN. What are your thoughts on this? What are you thinking?
Hi. Well, I want to believe in the good of the police officers. I have a member in my family.
Right.
But something happened yesterday on your radio and on the TV news. I believe it was the FOP president got on, and he said someone from Congressman Rush's office called and said, to get over there. Well, what I'd like to know is, since when do the police take orders from just a congressman's office? Don't they have someone up the food chain that gives them the orders, a captain or a lieutenant or something? Why are Bobby Rush's office just called? This is his excuse. Oh, Congressman Rush's office said, you know, get over there and protect my office. I'm not buying that. They don't take orders from Congressman Rush.
Congressman Rush's office, for their part, is saying, we did not order this.
Right.
They're saying no one in his office did.
So my problem is with this FOP president. Why is he covering up? The cover-up is just continuing now. That's what he's saying what happened.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Let's go to Tom. Tom, go ahead. You're on WGN. What are your thoughts?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I'll be real quick. I just want to comment that those two police commanders who were at the press conference with the mayor and the superintendent were furious for a reason, and they know the real story. Those are two longtime veterans, and maybe there's a history with that group that was in there. But they were furious for a reason. They wouldn't have been that furious if there wasn't more to this, and it'll come out.
I agree, Tom. When I saw them, and they're police officers, cops. I felt the same thing you did. I thought, wow.
And well respected, both of them.
Yes, I agree. Thank you for making that.
You could see the fury in their eyes, and they were hurt.
They were
upset. Because they were let down by their brotherhood.
Yeah,
that's my comment.
Thank you, Tom. Right. That was the piece that got me, too, when I mentioned it yesterday. I thought, it's got to be fellow cops, too, who would be upset about this, knowing what they were up against in our city. And that's got to be tough for them, too. 312-981-7200, weigh in. Karen, I think we can get you in here, and then we'll continue in a moment here. But go ahead, Karen.
Hi, I just wanted to say at the very end of the conference, or the meeting yesterday from WGN News, I was listening.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor Lightfoot said, show that picture again. And then she said, so we don't know exactly who you are now, but don't make us come look for you.
Right.
Just turn yourselves in, identify yourselves, blah, blah, blah. And I thought that was interesting. So I was, you know, holding my breath, thinking maybe that would happen. Maybe there was a reason. Well, just now, before we started this conversation, whoever did the news just now just said that the police, the what do I want to say, that they were told to be there. So if they were told to be there, that has to be on a record someplace. So they have their backs covered, right?
If that person, the senior person who ordered it, would step forward and say, yes, I did. Or if all 13 of them, I suppose, would point to the same guy who said it, but we haven't seen evidence of that.
Wouldn't it be on the radio or something? You know, wouldn't it be known over the radio?
That's a good question. I'm going to ask Sergeant Pete about that. And so let's pick this up in a moment here. I'm going to ask that very question and then hear more from you on this really, I mean, just difficult subject, right? Difficult to see, difficult to watch, difficult to see that representation of our police on national media at this time. 312-981-7200. Join into the conversation. We'll pick this up in just a minute here on WGN. Back to the phones. JC, go ahead. You're on WGN. Your thoughts about this police video and the aftermath that what has followed. What's going on? What do you think?
Yeah, so I'm a Chicago police sergeant. I'm assigned to the same district as the team that was assigned to the congressman's office. I think what they're not showing you is that that team was ordered. They were assigned to protect and to guard the congressman's office. Now, the fact that they were lounging around and they might have taken, you know, liberty with the congressman's K-cups, that's a separate topic. But the reason they were there is because they were assigned to protect the congressman's office from the looting and the rioting and disturbances that were going on in that neighborhood. So they were there for a purpose, and right now, because, let's be honest, this isn't the first time that his honorable congressman has lied about his interactions with the Chicago Police Department. The reason they were there was because they were ordered to be there.
Where did you see that they were ordered to be there?
So eventually, once the department goes through and does their investigation, they're going to see that the dispatch records, which we call the PCAD, the police computer records, as well as the radio traffic, show that that team was ordered to be there. Now, this is just covering up for the fact that the police leadership and the city leadership cared more about preserving and protecting a congressman's office than they did all the other businesses around and the neighborhoods around surrounding. That's just an unavoidable fact.
So, JC, are you saying that maybe one of the senior exempt guys that's up the chain had ordered all 13 of these guys, or however many were there at any given time, you got to stay put there, even while the city was burning, looters were happening, that very strip mall was being hit, lots of things were going on. That could have happened? That did happen in your view?
Yep. Yes, ma'am. I'm not saying that it's a senior exempt, but they were ordered by someone in their district, probably the watch commander. It might have been the district commander. I'm not positive on that, and I don't want to tell you how high up the chain it was. Those guys, those 13 guys, that's a tactical team. That's a standard size for a tac team. Those guys were all part of the same team. They were ordered to be there to basically hold down the fort and defend the congressman's office. Now, whether that was the right priority or not, I can't judge that because I'm not in a command position. But they were there at the direction of the Chicago Police Department.
So it happened very fast. Like, the mayor saw the video the day before and then had the news conference and didn't maybe take time to look for these people. But if that's the case, wouldn't the higher-ups who spoke at the news conference yesterday have been aware of that?
I think they are aware of it, but they don't like the optics of showing that they were protecting a congressman's office and letting the rest of the strip mall burn.
You know, this is fascinating to hear this, because I know that Congressman Rush has not been a friend of police, frankly, let's be honest, and I know that's part of it. His office is saying, we didn't ask for this, we didn't want any special treatment, we didn't want them there, we didn't ask for them. I don't know who would have called, who would have intervened on their behalf.
The Chicago Police Department might have on its own decided that this was a high priority, high value location that needed to be protected. I have absolutely no idea. I can't comment as who made the call for them to be there. All I know is that the dispatch records show very clearly, and I've seen it myself, that team was ordered to be there.
Oh, my gosh. That is a revelation.
I don't know that the congressman or his staff asked for it. I don't know if it was something that was... I don't know where that order came from.
Huh. I'm so happy you called, JC. I had not heard that before, and that's actually a better explanation than the FOP had on this whole thing.
Yeah, and like I said, the fact that they're lounging and they borrowed his K-cups, that's
look.
A whole different matter.
Bad look. Bad optics.
Not appropriate. I understand the fury about that. But the fact that they were there was not their decision. It wasn't their call.
Huh. JC, thank you for calling in. I want to make sure our producer has your your information, because that is, I know you don't want to go on the record or anything like that, but I certainly appreciate you calling it. I know that, I get it, and I understand all of that, but it is very important that you called in, so thank you. Thanks for taking the time to do that. And boy, that, I hadn't heard that anywhere else, other than the FOP, which is slightly different story. Zach, let's hear from you here. Zach, go ahead, you're on WGN.
Yeah, I disagree with the first caller. I believe that the majority of cops are not good for the simple fact that there's something called guilty by association. If you're watching someone do something wrong and you don't do anything about it, in my eyes, you're just as bad. But that being said, I do think that cops have too much to do, and that's part of the issue. We need to give them less. We need to take some of that money that they use for military-style vehicles and kind of put it into other funds that we've been slashing just to get rid of.
Yeah. You hear about that a lot. Mental health is one that often comes up, that there isn't a, we've slashed at mental health budgets over the years here in Chicago in particular. And, you know, it's just... there are, you know, all of this is being looked at right now. That is the case. I know there's the other side of this where you don't want police to be underfunded so that when you call and you have a problem, there's nobody there to answer that call. That's the other piece of it.
Of course. But if you're giving them a bunch of hammers and then they start using them, you can't get mad at them for doing that.
Yeah, there's police policy, though, on use of force. I mean, I like people like to think they just start shooting. I just, you know, that's...
We've seen a lot of that policy come into play over the last couple of weeks, though.
I would agree. There have been some very disturbing things. Thank you, Zach. Let's try to get Linda here. And, yeah, Linda, go ahead. Oh, Cinda. I'm sorry, Cinda. You're on WGN. Cinda, go ahead.
Okay. I just had a quick comment, and that is that all of this, whether it's police laziness or whether it's police brutality, police racism, all of this is the effort should be to get all the police officers to hold each other accountable for quality and quality policing. And one way to actually help solve the problem is instead of the taxpayers paying for when police get sued for brutality, it should come out of the out of the police pension fund. And if it came out of the pensions and there would be skin in the game in there for every officer, then they would be more likely to hold each other accountable and say, no, get off his neck, you know, foot off the neck, or, you know, really not just sit there and, you know, no, this, we're not going to just, you know, hold each other accountable for quality.
Yeah. Accountability is an issue that comes up all the time. Thank you, Cinda. 312-981-7200. That's how you reach us on this conversation. I think we can get Sergeant Pete in here. Sergeant Pete, a couple things you just heard about. You just heard from Cinda saying that could other officers speak up when they see things that are going on, or is it a chain of command thing? What would you say about that?
Well, no, other officers would speak up. Other officers would want to know why somebody's there when I'm getting my butt kicked someplace else. And that sergeant that called, you know, he said it's a normal tactical team that's assigned there. Well, tac teams are 10 men and one sergeant. So you have two extra white shirts there. The proof is going to be, if what he says is true, that there was an order given over the air that they are to protect Bobby Rush's office, then, you know, you find out who gave that order, and it should have been an exempt, you know, a commander or above. You know, if one of the sergeants there said, well, we're going to guard Bobby Rush's office and took it upon himself to do it, then it's laying in his hands.
JC works in that area, though, that officer who called in. One you're referencing, and he said that the dispatch record showed that they were ordered to be there. He was unequivocal in that statement. That is what they were ordered to do, and that's the order that they follow. They can't say that they don't want to. If that's true, you can't say you don't want to follow that order.
Right. But I think Brown and Riccio and the people involved in this would have gone and searched those records to see who gave that order. And if it was, in fact, given by somebody of rank, above, you know, exempt rank, then those 13 policemen are justified for being in there. Laying around, not so justified, but then they're justified for being there. Otherwise, You know, I just think that somebody would have come up with this a lot sooner about before they make these allegations. But if it's proven true, then the officers were there, and the only thing that they can be held for is eating popcorn and drinking coffee.
Drinking coffee that they weren't supposed to have. Wait, can we pick this up on the other side? Steve, can we pick this up on the other side?
Sure,
because there's a lot more to ask you. A couple other things that came up. Sergeant P, can you stick around? And we also want to take more calls on this issue. 312-981-7200. Let's go to the news, and then we'll pick this up on the other side.
It is 71 degrees at 2:30. Good afternoon. I'm Steve Bertrand. The news sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. We're easing closer to Phase 4. First, a look at traffic. Here's Lauren Lapka.
There's now a crash on 394 North around Exchange. Outbound Edens is backed up around Cicero. Seeing heavy traffic inbound on the Kennedy from Montrose. It's 42 minutes in from O'Hare. Inbound Eisenhower stop and go from Wolf Road. It is 36 minutes from 390. Also, the ramp to the outbound Kennedy is closed for construction until mid-October. Drivers are detoured onto the outbound Dan Ryan. They cross over on Taylor Street and re-enter inbound on the Dan Ryan. So that's causing heavy traffic over there. And outbound Dan Ryan is stop and go from 51st. I-55 is backed up around Blodgett. That's because of road work. And those demonstrating on the west side are now marching west on 16th. That's blocked off between Central Park Avenue and Pulaski. Lauren Lapka, WGN Traffic Central.
The forecast from the PermaSeal Weather Center, mostly sunny today, although clouds will build through the afternoon, a high around 78 degrees. With any luck, we've got a ways to go. Partly cloudy tonight, slight chance of a shower, low 53. And then for the weekend, mostly sunny tomorrow, 67. Sunny on Sunday and a high of 71. 71 right now at O'Hare, midway 74. It is 59 degrees at Chicago's lakefront. We're just getting in the latest numbers now from the Illinois Department of Public Health, and they are reporting 595 new confirmed cases of coronavirus over the past 24 hours and 77 deaths. That is, I believe, the eighth day in a row where we have been below 100 deaths in the state. The Chicago Department of Public Health Director, Dr. Allison Arwood, he says the city continues to trend in the right direction to move toward Phase 4. She says perhaps by the end of the month. She says now that they know that one of 57 Chicagoans, one of every 57, has been infected with the coronavirus, and she said the actual number could be higher. And the Better Government Agency says that it is suing over that foul-mouthed recorded teleconference between the mayor and city alderman. The BGA isn't suing over the insults. They're suing because they say the city council violated the Illinois Open Meetings Act. The mayor's office denies that. Your money on WGN. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is in positive territory, up 216 points. The S&P back above the even line, up 11, and the NASDAQ up 8. I'm Steve Bertrand on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
A couple of interesting developments here on the show. 233. Ooh, including that. Is that an alarm, Sergeant Pete? What is that you got going on in the background there? Just heard something.
Car was too close to me.
Oh, okay. Your car's letting you know. You gotta stay on the road. So look, a couple things came up here and that about police policy, and I want to just circle back with you on, because people said we had that call from JC, who says he works in the same district as those officers, said the dispatch record showed they were ordered to be there, that all of them were. The thing that moved me yesterday the most was when Riccio and Superintendent Brown both stood up there and said that this was disgusting, and said that this was wrong. I would assume that at that point they had seen those dispatch records and had investigated it enough to be able to stand up there and say that. Is it possible there is some commanding officer on this chain who said this is where you're going to sit for 4 or 5 hours on this night, and that's what you do?
Of course, it's possible, but unfortunately, nobody's come forward yet, and I would have thought that the superintendent and the first deputy and anybody involved in this investigation would have looked at that. And if the records do show that they were ordered to be there, then, you know, their conduct for drinking his coffee and eating his, you know, popcorn, I mean, that's ridiculous. But
he seemed very upset about that. He really did.
Well, you know, think if someone went into your office or home and started eating your food, I guess.
Maybe a little creepy, but yeah.
But here's the thing. So, Sergeant Pete, it does seem that they moved quickly, the mayor did, after she got this tape. And Anna, help me with the timeline. But she almost, like, she got the tape the night before, and came forward with the news conference the next day, right?
Now, this is the interesting part, though. That tape had been discovered a while ago, right? This is two weekends ago when this happened. Bobby Rush said he had a funeral to go to or something like that.
Right,
there
right.
was some reason
his
why
sister,
he couldn't
his
come.
His sister died.
But yes. So my concern is, though, if that was the timeline or something close to that, do they have time to go over the records and check, or did they? Is it possible that they just moved too quickly?
No, well, they can enter that stuff in the computer right away, and it'll pick up, you know, the timeline that was there. That would come up pretty quick. And they would also would have checked with the supervisors that were the exempt ranks that were in charge of that area of the city. So then, you know, somebody could have jumped the gun. But I just doubt that these two guys would come out there and say that, you know, and make these allegations. And, you know, let's be frank. If I was a sergeant and I had all my men there and people, you know, a block or two blocks away from me, or my other officers are getting beat up, I'm going to the hell with Bobby Rush. He doesn't like policemen anyway. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm going to take my officers somewhere else, you know. I mean, this guy flip-flops, you know. He said Lori, you know, Lightfoot had blood right. on her hands. Now he's her best friend.
Now he loves her. And he said some things about police officers in the past.
My purpose is to protect life and property. And the first life and properties I'm going to defend are my police officers.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sergeant Pete. Oh, yeah, I think you answered most of the questions there, because I just wonder now, is it the duty of, if there is this officer who ordered it, this senior person in the force, should they come forward? Would they come forward? Or would this just, we just have to wait to see?
As soon as this would have hit, he or she, if it was a commander of the unit or the watch commander of the commander of the district, the watch commander of the district, whomever that was, or executive officer or the deputy chief or the chief, if they ordered him to protect Bobby Rush's office, number one, I would never have done that. That's me. But number two, he should have come forward right away and said, I ordered my men to go over there.
Hmm. Seems like just a horrible use of resources, whoever made the call. Yeah. I mean, on that night.
This guy? It was a waste of manpower. And if the police were getting injured near him, it was a travesty.
Yeah. Thank you, Sergeant Pete. Always appreciate your insights on these kinds of matters.